Will you pray again with me? Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will flow through me, that your word will be spoken and heard this morning. As your Apostle Paul wrote, pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly. Amen. Again, thank you, Holly and Kevin, for the beautiful music this morning, and that last hymn, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? There are several reasons I asked Holly to include that one. First of all, it fit nicely with the message. Second, I kind of like it. And I heard that song probably 1,000 times when I was a little boy on Mom and Daddy's old record player, a 78 RPM with the Carter family, Maybelle, Sarah, and A.P. Carter. The old scratchy 78s, can't you just hear it, some of you? I think we're all old enough to know what a 78 is. When I do talk to my sister, I tease her, I say, these records, is that how you guys used to listen to music in the old days? So when I say I listen to oldies, that's what I mean. I think 1933 is when the Carter family recorded that one. Now, if you got your Bible still open to today's passage, and again, thank you, Holly, I know there were a lot of do's and do-nots and do's and do's in there. Keep your finger there, mark your place, we'll come back around to it. Some of you I know have been around me for a number of years, and most, if not all, probably heard me either up here or in a class or a small group, heard me refer to Paul's writings in regard to spiritual warfare. In particular, from Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul lists the armor of God, most of us are familiar with. The belt of truth, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sermon title I considered, honestly, was Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. I had one other, I don't know if I'll admit to that one, Karen, too. Karen voted for it. I was going to call it Stick Your Snout Under the Spout Where the Gospel Comes Out. Maybe next time. So, sermon title is On This Very Ground. On This Very Ground. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul makes it pretty clear who the enemy is. Against the spiritual forces of evil. Again. Then Paul describes the armor of God so that we can stand our ground against these enemies. In our lives as Christians, we are in a constant battle. May not always realize it, a battle against those rulers and those authorities. As we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter says to be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The devil and his fallen angels are devious and they are vicious fighters. So we depend on God's strength. And we use every piece of that armor that Paul describes. Enemies. Those who are not flesh and blood are the devil and the demons he is in control of. I'll stop harping on that. They are not fairy tales. They are very real, and it will do everything possible to try to lead us back down the path to sin. Now, Paul's description of the full armor of God is not directed only to the church as a whole, but to each of us personally, as Christians and as believers. We all need to be prepared to stand against the devil's schemes and to stand together. We look out for one another, don't we? Very important that we take care of each other. It can be a struggle. Life is a struggle. And the fight will continue until the day Christ returns. We need God's power to defeat the enemy, and He has given this power to us as believers and children of God. We have the power of the Holy Spirit within us and His armor surrounding us. When, not if, when we feel hopeless or discouraged, remember the armor of God and always remember to pray for strength and to pray for wisdom. Now, let's turn back to Romans chapter 7. Verse 14, Paul begins again. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. I'm going to paraphrase some. I do not understand what I do. For what I do, I do not do. But what I want to do, I hate what I do, etc., etc. Holly, I'm sorry for making you read that. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Skipping down. Now I do what I do not want to do. It is no longer I who does it, but it is sin living in me. Wow, that sounds an awful lot like me. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot always carry it out. It sounds, too, kind of like a struggle against flesh and blood. Even though in Ephesians we read that our struggle is not, this sounds an awful lot like a struggle against flesh and blood. Namely, our flesh and our sinful nature. Paul shares some things he had learned from his struggles and with his own sinful thoughts and desires. First of all, in verse 15, he says, I agree that the law is good, but knowing the rules doesn't necessarily make it any easier to follow the rules. Again, reminds me of me. When he admits that what I hate, I continue to do, we cannot on our own change our hearts, our sinful natures, our bad habits. And becoming a Christian and accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior does not automatically remove all sin and all temptations from our lives. Amen? Now, there's been a lot of debate over the years as to whether chapter 7 of Romans was Paul describing himself as a Christian or if he was writing of his previous life as an unbeliever before he met the Lord. Some people just have a hard time thinking that a strong person, as strong as Paul's faith was, that he would write something like this. But that he is referring to his past could be argued by his use of the phrase, sold as a slave to sin. I know nothing good lives in me. Verse 24, he says, what a wretched man I am. And these could be interpreted as references to his past, to the old self. My personal take on it, most likely he is writing of the struggles a believer experiences. He writes in the present tense, what I do, what I do not do. He doesn't say what I did or what I did not do. And he writes with humility, admitting to his sinful nature, as we would expect of a Christian who is strong in the faith. Also, chapter 7 is included in the section of the book of Romans where Paul is speaking of sanctification, our growth as Christians in holiness. Aside from that, I think the main reason I lean toward the view that Paul is writing of his struggles as a Christian because he reminds me so much of myself. I am unspiritual, verse 14. Even the most mature Christian and the toughest and strongest believer can still have a rebellious heart. Don't we pray about that very thing? In our preparation to receive the Lord's Supper, which, by the way, Darren Skinner will share the Lord's Supper with us next week. We pray about our rebellious hearts. We have not loved you with our whole hearts, we pray. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Sold as a slave to sin, Paul writes in verse 14. That is a pretty strong statement. Sold as a slave to sin. But I don't believe it's necessarily a literal description of every Christian. But it points to our inability. We are only human. Our inability to always live up to the ethics and the morals that the gospel teaches us. I do not understand. Verse 15. How many times have I said that? Right back to sounding like me. All of us, I'm certain at least on occasion, have a little internal tension or confusion, mixed feelings, contradictory ideas, and on and on and on. If that sounds familiar, you're not alone. Verse 16, Paul writes, I agree that the law is good. Easy enough. Sure, we can all agree that the law, the scriptures and the gospels are true and good and worthy, and keep agreeing to it even while we are disobedient and sinful. Paul goes on in verse 17 and he says, it is no longer I myself who do it. This one kind of tickles me. It wasn't me. I didn't do it, Mom. The dog ate my homework. The light was yellow, officer. I wasn't speeding either. Right, Karen? No longer I myself, but it is sin living in me. Now, I promised I wouldn't do that to her. She's got a Nerf ball she had planned to use with the boys of their Sunday school. That's all she's got to throw at me. Nope, no pumpkins. No longer I myself, but it is sin living in me. The devil made me do it. Maybe that should be the title of one of my next messages. The devil made me do it. Not much of an excuse, but often when we look back at the passage from Ephesians chapter 6, there is some truth to that. Without Jesus and without God's armor, we can't defend against sin or the temptation to sin, and the devil can make us do quite a lot. Verse 18, another pretty strong statement. I capitalize, nothing good lives in me. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Again, I don't take this as a condemnation of all believers. It just points to our inability, again, to accomplish any victory over sin without the help of our Lord and God. Finishing chapter 7, there are three verses that I did not include in the reading this morning. Verse 23 to 25. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Verse 24, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Another law at work in me simply means that the sin is always in us, and the potential for us to become vulnerable to temptation. This is the tension we can find in our day-to-day lives, the conflict within ourselves, because we know that God's instructions and His commands are good and right and true. We just can't always follow them on our own. Being aware of our potential to disobey God is a struggle for us, a very real struggle. The Apostle Paul obviously struggled with it. But from Paul, we learn some things we can do about it if our own spiritual battles start to feel overwhelming. First of all, remember that we have been redeemed. We are saved. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. And always remember, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. As the resurrected Lord told his disciples, Acts chapter 1, you will receive power from the Holy Spirit and will be my witnesses to the end of the earth. In one spirit, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Find strength and comfort and encouragement from your brothers and sisters in the body, in God's church with a capital C. Think of the armor we've been given to help resist the temptations of the devil. Reading those verses from Romans 7, Paul's struggle with his own sinful nature, I thought here for sure, is a struggle against flesh and blood, our own. But oh, Paul, he doesn't contradict himself here, I don't believe. After describing his flesh and blood struggle, and later writing to the Ephesians that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but the self-doubts and the struggles with our own sinful nature that Paul describes so well in Romans, these are the devil's ammunition. It is a spiritual fight, sometimes within ourselves. One last piece of armor I'll mention. The sure and certain knowledge that our Lord Jesus has not only saved us. Chapter 8, verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the Spirit who gives life has set you free. And we know the devil loses in the end, doesn't he? Amen? My sermon title, On This Very Ground, doesn't have anything to do with one of these scriptures or standing your ground. There's a fellow named Walt Kelly. I may be the only one who remembers Walt Kelly. The newspaper comic strip about Pogo the Possum. Raise your hands if you know Pogo. 2, 3, 4, 5 of us. Thank you. Pogo and his friends lived in the Okefenokee Swamp on the Georgia side of the line. Walt Kelly described Pogo as the reasonable, patient, soft-hearted, naive, friendly person we all like to think we are. Now remember, it had to be early 70s. Picture of Pogo, if it was in the funny papers, in the newspaper, in a book or what. Pogo is standing with a ragged little flag on a pole, and he says, on this very ground, with small flags waving and tiny blasts on toy trumpets, we have met the enemy, and not only may he be ours, he may be us. Will you pray with me again? Father, again, first of all, I thank you for this opportunity for us to gather in your house as brothers and sisters and to share your word. Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for each and every one of them. And I pray that my message, again, was your spirit speaking through me. Father, I will pray now. We will bless the food in the hands that prepared it for our potluck coming up. Father, bless our time together. Bless our fellowship. Let that food nourish our bodies as thy holy word nourishes our souls. To that, let us all say amen.